Today, reality versus the statisticians. Yes, you do have a real income recession. Hi again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Welcome to this post covering finance and property news. The strong message I continue to get from my household surveys is that many households feel trapped in the jaws of ever higher prices and see a real devaluation in their effective income, which means they're going backwards. Many are working more hours and multiple jobs to try and get by. Yet the government statistics seem to tell a different story. So today, I want to get a handle on this issue. The bottom line is this: households are indeed trapped in a lost decade of real income growth, and it's likely to persist into the 2030s. The ABS recently released the wage price index data for the March 25 quarter, which rose 0.9% and 3.4% annually. The March quarter 2025 wage price index is actually based on data captured for the middle month, February, of the March quarter. Annual wage growth ticked up for the first time since the June quarter of 2024, they said. The 3.4% increase in wages for the year to March was higher than the 3.2% to the December quarter 24, but lower than the 4% of the same time last year. Seasonally adjusted private sector annual wage growth was unchanged from the December quarter at 3.3%, but annual public sector wage growth was higher than the private sector at 3.6% in the March quarter, up from 2.9% in the December 24 quarter. In the March quarter 25, seasonally adjusted private sector wages rose 0.9%, while public sector wages rose 1%. Private sector wage growth has also been influenced by administrative wage adjustments due to the Stage 3 aged care work value case and the early childhood education and care worker retention payment, and was also impacted by regular March quarter wage and salary reviews. The ABS said wages growth in the public sector was impacted by new state-based enterprise agreements and, to a lesser degree, increases paid to aged care workers. Jobs covered by enterprise agreements contributed just over half of all quarterly growth for the first time since September 2020, they said. The larger-than-usual March quarter contribution from enterprise agreements covered jobs that were mainly driven by the new state-based enterprise agreements in the public sector. Now, of course, this is all not inflation-adjusted. As published on Macro Business, if you would deflate the wage price index by inflation, Australians' real wages were tracking at the fourth quarter 2011 levels. That's 6.1% below their quarter two 2020 peak. So no wonder many households remain stuck in financial flow pressure, as we continue to highlight in our surveys. Half of households with mortgages are short of cash, and two-thirds of those in the rental sector are in the same boat. And this is also confirmed by recent OEC data, which show that Australian real per capita household disposable income was tracking 7.6% below its quarter one 2022 peak and has badly underperformed its OECD peers since the onset of the COVID-19 pandemic. But hey, the ABS are now releasing experimental estimates of employee earnings sourced from what they call single touch payroll, the STP data. The ABS media release headline reads, "Wages and salaries grow 5.8% in the year to March 2025. Yippee! The total wages and salaries, they say, paid by employers reached a series high of $104.8 billion in the March 2025 quarter, and wages and salaries peaked typically in March before falling in a bit in April. That's a seasonal pattern that they've seen in previous years." Now, I've noted a number of politicians were quick to quote this number rather than the stricter WPI series. Just a little bit of spin there. This experimental series uses ATO data. The ATO provides selected employer and employee level data from the STP system to the ABS. This data is then combined with employer population and characteristics data from the quarterly ABS business register snapshots, and wages and salaries are gross values prior to taxation and deductions, and includes wages, salary payments and allowances paid through the Australian payrolls. Employee superannuation and severance and termination payments are excluded. The ABS warns that the STP was not primarily designed to support the production of statistics, hence there are some inherent characteristics which contribute to the variability estimates and revisions between releases. The latest monthly figures for March 25 estimates that total wages and salaries paid by employees increased by $104.8 billion. That's an increase of 0.9%, or $971 million in the month from February 25, and increased by 5.8%, or $5,722 million in the year from March 2024. But of course, this will reflect growth in the number of people working, which has been significantly stronger than expected, partially thanks to high migration and partially thanks to higher participation. Within the annual data, wages have grown the most in healthcare and social assistance and public administration and safety, both, of course, full of government-funded jobs. Then came construction and then education. Yep, more public sector spending there. At the other end of the spectrum, those in the real estate sector and in the arts sector hardly grew at all. Across the states, the strongest growth in the March month was in Western Australia, up 3%, followed by the NT, up 2.7%, South Australia, 1.3%, the ACT, 1.1%, New South Wales, 0.7%, and Victoria and Queensland at just 0.4%. Remember, this is total wages, not wages growth per employee. Their industry breakdown for March shows the strongest rise in mining, up a whopping 8.3%, wholesale, trade and utilities, and there were falls in construction, IT and technical services, and services there fell 1.9%. Interestingly, the strongest growth was in the large employee sector, those with over 200 employees. Small firms on average went backwards. And again, we saw strongest growth in the public sector, up 2.1% compared to 0.7% in the private sector. Many government-paid jobs there, of course. Now, to make any sense of the data, what you'd need to do would be to divide the salary total by the number of employees in each industry and sector to get anything useful. I did try to do this, but because of differences in the timing of data and the basis of the data, it's hard to make much sense of the results. I'm going to continue to do some work on that, but I'm not going to share more detailed data in the show today. But what I can say is that 5.8% salary growth across the year to March is not what real households are experiencing. So what about the future of income growth then? Well, the RBA's Statement on Monetary Policy, just released this week, included some admittedly high-level estimates. They forecast a painfully slow recovery for both real wages and household disposable incomes. In short, by the second quarter of 2027, Australian real wages will remain 5.7% below their peak, tracking around December 2011 levels, suggesting that real wages may not recover to their former COVID bubble peak until, wait for it, 2040. And if you look at inflation-adjusted household disposable income, rejoice. It's a faster, albeit still painful, slow recovery, with real per capita household disposable income a mere 5% below its COVID peak by the second quarter of 2027. This suggests that Australia's real per capita household disposable income may not recover until the first quarter of 2031. So, there you have it. The real experience of households on the ground, as captured by my surveys, are not lying. Neither are the statistics. But they do deceive, perhaps deliberately. Now, I wonder who would like to spin that into a 5.8% positive story. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.